Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi
e Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Weekend Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
Welcome to another episode of This Week in Skating. It is Gina and Matteo this week. We're giving Daphne a break, though she was just talking our ear off before we started recording, so she doesn't really take a break per se. She's still involved in this somehow.
We're all too passionate, aren't we? We try to keep away from it, but it's impossible.
Right, and especially with the fact that we have the Olympic qualifier this week.
Oof, yes.
The skate to Milano, or whatever you want to call it, Chinese Nebelhorn. I mean, we're seeing all different names for this event, but this is the big event that we've been waiting for pretty much since Worlds ended in the spring. And then we had Lombardia Trophy, which I was watching this week. I know you were too, Matteo.
Yeah.
And we don't have a JGP this week, but we did have one this past week. So it's just a lot going on.
It's
another busy
week for sure.
Yes, for sure. So we'll get started with some general skating news. Unfortunately, we have to start with some sad news. Austria figure skater Julia Marie Geiser has died in a car crash in Salzburg. The 23-year-old was riding her bike along a path when she was struck by a truck turning right near an intersection. She died at the scene. Julia finished 7th at the 2025 Austria National Championships. Now, Italy's Sarah Conti posted photos of her with Julia. She posted in Italian and it was translated to "There are no words, just unbelievable pain. I will never forget your smile. You'll be in my heart forever." Unfortunately, we had some more sad news today with Matilda Ferrari, a promising 15-year-old figure skater for Italy. She was hit and killed by a truck today in Trento. She was crossing the street to get to her bus stop to get the bus for school when she was hit. So some sad news that we had to pass along, both tragic accidents. And so we are sending our thoughts and prayers to both skaters and their families, as well as the skating community, you know, who knew these skaters very well.
Yes, we hope not to hear news like these anymore, because it's been quite a busy year when it comes to these news, and it's not what we want to talk about. But sadly, when these things happen, we just have to deal with it. And as Gina said, we are sending our thoughts and prayers to their families and friends. And we are a community that is always strong together. So we'll remember the skaters going forward.
Yes, definitely.
So moving on, entries for the Dennis Ten Memorial have been announced. It's a Challenger Series event for men, women, and ice dance. So in the men, there's going to be Nika Egadze, Mikhail Shaidarov, Yuan Chan, Jason Chan, Tara Shinohara, and other skaters, of course. In the women, we are also going to see Madeline Shizas, Hain Lee, Hashan Yun, and Josephine Lee. And in the dance, Alicia Fabry and Paul Ayer, Diana Davis and Gleb Smolkin, Ona Brown and Gage Brown, and Leah Neset and Artem Markelov.
Well, Nika Volodin has received his German citizenship, so great news for him. And of course, Minerva, they will be able to compete at the Olympics.
Yes, and it's going to be quite an interesting one. We're going to talk about Sarah Conti and Nicolò Macia later, but I cannot wait for the pairs event. Anyway, talking about pairs, Lucrezia Beccari and Matteo Garrise have been assigned to Skate America.
And we will talk about them in a little bit, too, because we do have some news on them from Lombardia. And Luca Brassard has withdrawn from Skate Canada. We are hearing that there is a possible injury there. He still has another assignment in Finland. We're not sure if he will withdraw from that.
And finally, Haru Kakiuchi has been assigned to host spot at NHK Trophy.
Well, championship-level single-session tickets are on sale for the U.S. Championships. Jason Brown was in St. Louis over the weekend promoting the event. Now, in case you haven't seen the schedule, all four free skates will be split this year. Friday, January 9th, will be the pairs and women's split, and then Saturday, January 10th, will be dance and men's split. You know how Daphne and I feel about that, but that's how it is, and we just have to go with it. The senior events also start on Wednesday, January 7th, and end on Saturday, compared to Thursday and Sunday, going Thursday to through Sunday. But Sunday this year will be the Olympic team announcement and show. So we'll have to see what that is. We haven't heard exactly what that is, but if you haven't gotten your tickets, we'll have a link in the show notes.
Great, and it's probably going to be quite a show, isn't it, to find out who's going to make the Olympic team. But
yes, definitely.
Shall we move on to Lombardia Trophy, which we mentioned quite a few times?
Yes. So did we both buy the live stream, or were you watching
So I didn't because I had quite a few things going on. But I think, you know, these days it's quite easy to then find videos of most of the skating that happened. So I did watch it, not live, clearly. So a
I would have never known. I would have never known because I thought we were texting while it was going on, and I thought you were watching it at the same time.
Well, I'm kind of following online, and even when you follow online, it's almost like you can visualize what's happening and you feel like you're there. And you remember that I was meant to go there, but I had to change my plans last minute because of too many commitments going on. But I felt like I was there in Bergamo with all of them.
Right. I know you wanted to be there.
Yes.
But yeah, I was watching most of the competition live. I decided to buy the live stream. I think I bought the live stream the last few seasons for Lombardia. So I want to share a couple little facts before we break into the actual skating. Team USA women and men both drew the same placement for the short program. They posted about the coincidence on social media. So Sarah Everhart was, she skated sixth in the short program. Alyssa Liu skated seventh. And then Max Naumoff skated sixth in the short program. And Ilya Malinin skated seventh. And they showed, they had a photo from the actual draw, which was kind of fun. We learned a little bit about Lucrezia Beccari and Matteo Garis. Golden Skate posted that they withdrew not for injury. Lucrezia told Golden Skate that Matteo just became a dad, and I think we mentioned that on the podcast, yes, that he is a new father, and he wanted some days off so they could so he could spend time with his new family. So they will start their season in Nebelhorn. So this is good news for them because we know they sat out last season with Lucrezia having an injury. So looking forward to seeing them in 2 weeks in Nebelhorn. Now, Matteo, I want you to talk about this shot that you found online with Lara Naki Gutman's water bottle.
Yes, so I had to take a photo because someone, actually she, posted this water bottle with Squid Game on. And why did I have to do that? Because we know that a certain host that is not here with us today is obsessed with their show. And you will remember that Lara skated on Squid Game last year in her short program, which was quite phenomenal. And seeing the water bottle there, of course, made a lot of people smile, and we had to share that with Daphne.
Yes, she was very excited for that photo. I don't know if she'll get to see... Oh, yeah, she will get to see Lara Naki Gutman in Lake Placid. Now, whether Lara will have that water bottle in Lake Placid remains to be seen. Maybe we shall kind of message Lara and say, please bring that water bottle for a certain This Week in Skating host. But yeah, that was, I liked seeing that photo in our chat. One thing when I was watching the medal ceremonies is I noticed the medalists did not receive medals. They got a trophy and then this big box. And I'm like, what's in the box? And so I was determined to figure out what was in the box. So I messaged FSO's photographer Giada, who was in Lombardia taking photos for Figure Skaters Online. And I said, what's in the box? And she got me the answer. The box was from Officina Profumo Farmaceutica, boy, I don't know how my Italian is. I better practice there. My almost Italian. Almost. Matteo, I'm going to need some lessons. And my Italian teacher right now is going to not be happy with me.
Look,
but
I'm going to read it for you. Officina Profumo okay. Farmaceutica.
Oh, okay. Very good. You did better for that.
Yeah, totally not quite better. Good at
I got to somehow. Work. Yeah. Well, it contained in that box face cleansing, water rose, and a face cream. And I'm guessing they were the sponsor of Lombardia because their logo was in the Kiss and Cry. So if you were watching and you saw that logo, I'm guessing they were a sponsor. So in case you were wondering what was in the box, there you go. They were going home with some skincare. So we'll move on now to the men, and we'll start with the men. We got to see Ilya Malinin's new programs for the first time. But no new costumes. He was wearing his quad god warm-ups. He told, I believe, Golden Skate that he hopes to have them for Grand Prix France. And that there's been a sizing issue. So hopefully he gets that all taken care of and we can see those costumes in France. Now, he had a 13-point lead after the short program. I like his short program. I just think it was some parts were a little bit sloppy in the step sequence. So especially in the step sequence. So just clean it up a little bit and I think it's a great program. Now in the free skate, Ilya had to go to the boards as they started playing the wrong music for his free skate. They were playing Yuma's free skate music. Ilya's free skate does include voiceovers. And it is voiceovers of Ilya speaking. And he says this program is very personal. He says he tells his story. Now, fans have been sharing their thoughts and feelings about his programs on social media. And Ilya has been making social media posts in response to fans' comments. And I just basically want to say, sometimes we don't necessarily like a program, but maybe we need to see it a little bit more to really have... a thought or a feeling on it. And this was the first time we're seeing this program.
Exactly.
So, you know, fans, I know we all have opinions and everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but sometimes, you know, for skaters, especially if it feels like it's a personal program, they may, you know, find that it's hard to hear some negative responses about that program.
And you're absolutely right, because it's the start of the season, but it's the Olympic season as well. So put yourself in Ilya's shoes. He's coming out with a program, as you said, that is quite personal to him. And he brings his heart and soul to the ice skating that program. Let's give him time to see what that will develop into, because that's exactly what we always see every season. There are programs that are ready from the start, programs that develop throughout the seasons, and so programs that mature at the end of the season. And very often you will remember the three of us say, oh, we wish that they can keep the program for the new season because it only blossomed at the end of the season. So it's always a process that we have to trust and we have to support the skaters. And if you don't like something, you don't have to learn to watch it. Just skip it, I think.
Right. We all are not going to like every program a skater does.
Yeah.
We all have different tastes and we all like different things. So we're never always going to like a program by a skater. So, but moving on from that part, we'll actually talk about what he did out there on the ice. Ilya landed 4 quads, no quad axle, but he did a quad Salchow and triple axle sequence that earned 21 points alone. He won the event by more than 20 points, winning his second consecutive gold at Lombardia. Now, Giada shared that when he skated, the entire arena was full of people and you could barely walk. That's a small arena to begin with, so you can just imagine that there was a lot of people there wanting to see Ilya. Now, Yuma Kageyama, who was in second after the short program, had a solid free skate. And here's a program that I think we're just going to keep seeing it develop throughout the season, where by the time we are in Milan, are going to say this is going to be a masterpiece. It's already showing that. And I am already loving this program. And I've only seen it twice.
It's
you know,
so beautiful.
Via, you know, a video. So I look forward to seeing it in person. Now, Yuma landed two quad jumps, though his quad toe loop was called on the quarter and he received a negative GOE for his triple axel. So he won the silver, his second consecutive silver medal at Lombardia Trophy. Now, I know Matteo saw this program. I did not. I have to go back and see it. Nikolai Memela of Italy, who was in fourth after the short program, took the bronze medal. He landed a quad lutz in his free skate. He is looking really good right now. So congrats to Nikolai for taking a medal in his home country. Shun Sato, who sat in eighth after the short program, had the fourth best free skate to move up to fourth overall. Now, Adam Siho Himfa had three falls in the free skate, but finished fifth overall. This was the first time we were seeing his programs because he debuted them at French Masters, but as we told you, the live show got stopped when Adam skated, so we never got to see the program, so this was the first time we got to see them. Kao Mira, who was in third after the short program, struggled in the free skate. He finished 10th in the segment to finish sixth overall. And Max Naumoff competed for the first time since he lost his parents/coaches in January. He finished in 9th place.
Right, that was very interesting, wasn't it? And almost the pre-Olympic skating itself. But let's move on with the women's field. So you will have seen there were quite a few things happening between the short and the free skate. So in the short program, Alyssa Liu, actually she was quite funny. She fell going out to skate, but luckily, you know, she just stood up again and she started the program with her opening pose. She just laughed and continued. So it was a backloaded short program. She had a triple lutz and triple loop at the end that was under-rotated and step out. And she said that this short program is a sequel to last year's short program and it has the same feel, obviously as well skating to the same artist, Lofi. She ended up in first place after the short program. Sarah Everhard has added the triple lutz and triple toe loop combination to her program, keeping last year's Riverdance, and she used to do the triple toe loop last year. So she was actually second after Alyssa Liu. And in third place, we had Japan's Ryorin Sumiyoshi, which actually ended up winning the free skate and winning the entire event. So she actually managed to deliver quite a beautiful free program there. She attempted the quad toe loop, but it was downgraded. And let's remember that she's getting to the same free skate that she had last year. So let's see how she will be able to present these throughout the season with the big jumps that she's also got in there. Ami Nakai of Japan is in her first senior season, and she took home the silver medal with a personal best free skate and total score. So she was in fifth place after a short program, but she skated to a beautiful free skate to a cover of It's a Wonderful World, and she tried to attempt a triple axel but fell on it. Sarah Everhard ended up winning the bronze medal. She's actually skating to Poor Things, which I find really good. Eugene as well liked it very much. It allows her to be a bit more expressive because that's something that she needs to work on. She only stepped out for the triple salchow, but otherwise the program was quite well presented. And I actually like the attention to detail in the program as well. I'm not quite sure whether you watched the movie, but the dress that she had reminds of one of the dresses that Emma Stone has in the movie. So the attention to detail is there. And I personally quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I have not seen the movie. So I was wondering what the dress, you know, resembled. But I think you told us in our chat about it. But yeah, I think it a lot of detail with this program. And again, it is allowing her to kind of be like a character and be a little bit more expressive. So I look forward to seeing it as it develops this season.
Exactly. And it's going to be quite a battle in the US women's field, isn't it? There are so many good skaters.
For sure. I think I texted and said, can we send four to the Olympics?
Exactly. Talking about US skaters, so we said that Alyssa Liu was first after the short program. In the free skate, she debuted her Lady Gaga program, which we know Daphne is going to like because it does have a darker feel to it. And we already said that the dress is absolutely spot on for Alyssa. She had a triple lutz, triple tollop combination that was underrotated, and she doubled her second triple lutz into double. So she finished the skate in fifth place, and unfortunately she dropped out of the podium, finishing fourth overall. While the short program was strong, the free program looked like it was still rather new for Alyssa. And it's, as we said before, though, it's the start of the season, so she's got time to work on it. She already said that she's got work to do. So we are sure that she will come back strong, because we know Alyssa really well. She's a fighter, and she's also someone that enjoys skating. So I don't think that she's going to be let down by dropping out of the podium at Lombardia mm-hmm. Trophy. Let's mention the one with creative programs. So we talked about her water bottle, but Lara Naki Gutman of Italy that put in her Joe's program, which is fantastic. It's so original, isn't it?
It is good.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I think we all liked it. Daphne included. Daphne shared it on her Facebook page. That's how much Daphne liked it. So, yeah, it's a good program.
Again, the attention to detail as well is amazing, isn't it? Because it starts with her playing the shark role, basically. And at some point, if you look at the spins, she's got the arm bent, almost as if it were a fin of a shark. Mm-hmm. Then it shifts into more of a notion, let's say less threatening music. And did you notice that at the end, she's on the ice in a certain pose, and immediately I said, she looks like the mermaid in Copenhagen. You know, the famous statue.
Okay,
that's what she's doing.
Because
I checked, and that's exactly the final pose. So I thought the program was so cleverly built, and I cannot wait to see it in person. Let's not forget as well, she skated really well, didn't she? Because she had a score that was quite high. And she's a skater that has got so much potential. I want to see what happens at Euros this year, because there are so many good skaters, but definitely she's there in the rankings now to push for a medal. So let's see.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to pairs. And I just want to remind people, pairs was not part of the Challenger event. It was just an international competition. So that means scores did not count as ISU personal bests. So again, just a reminder, because people were saying, oh, they had, a really good score, they got a new personal best. No, they didn't, because it didn't count. But in the short program, boy, did Sarah Conti and Niccolò Machì show they are ready and well-prepared, trained. They were the leaders after the short program, and I think we texted and said, wow. Like, yes. Just wow. Like, they're ready. And, if they skate like they did this weekend, especially after that short program, I would say they could be fighting for a medal at the Olympics for sure. In the free skate, they almost went clean. They had trouble with the exit of the final lift. I saw it right away. I was like, oh, Niccolò, what's happening there? But they won the event single-handed by more than 27 points. Rebecca Gilardi and Filippo Ambrosini were second in all segments. A little bit of trouble with some of the side-by-side jumps and the throws in both programs, but they easily were the second place team. The new Czech Republic team of Anna Valisi, who previously skated with Manuel Piazza of Italy, and Martin Bedar, who previously skated with Anna Duskova, were third. This was only the second event of their partnership, and they will compete this week at the qualifier. I'm hoping to get a spot for the Czech Republic. I have to say, I did watch the medal ceremony for this event. Of course, they were playing the Italian national anthem, and Anna, who is from Italy, all of them, all three. So the Sarah and Niccolò, and Rebecca and Filippo and Anna were all singing the Italian national anthem. Even though Anna skates now for the Czech Republic, I found that very cute. So
you cannot keep the Italian away from Italy, can you?
No. Nope. We know that from a certain someone who's hosting the show right now.
Anyway, let's move on to dance. Daphne, hopefully,
Jill gets to talk about dance since Daphne's not here.
I know. It's actually, I have to say, of course, ice dance is Daphne's territory. And I work with Daphne on icedance.com as well. So I'm glad for once to be able to lead on this. So let's start. For the first time since 2016, we have a new ice dance winner at Lombardia Trophy, as Charlene Guignard and Marco Fabbri did not compete at this year's event. And it's also the first time since the start of Lombardia Trophy that the winner of the ice dance event is not from Italy. Anna Luca, in fact, won the 2015 edition, and there was no ice dance event prior to that. So after the rhythm dance, there were only 0.39 points separating Katarina Mraskova and Daniel Mrazek, and Eva Pate and Logan Bai, who both skated to Thunderstruck, and they skated back-to-back, so that was quite interesting. Katarina Wolf-Klosenstein and Dmitry Zareski were in third with big costumes for the Backstreet Boys. They were quite original costumes, weren't they? Mm-hmm. But let's look at the free dance. So Katarina and Daniel's free dance is a flamenco skating to Malagueña. So it's a music that we've seen a few times before in ice dance. Katarina Mraskova has a very long red skirt that's a bit distracting in a way, depending on how you like it or not. But it's something that she actually knows quite well because she has an equally long skirt in their last senior as junior skaters, I remember, in their rhythm dance. So I went back to check. Yeah. She had a full red dress back then. Well, now she's got a red skirt and a black top, if I remember well.
Yeah. So yeah, and it was a little, it made me nervous, especially in the choreographic slide where he picks her up by the skate and the skirt's going everywhere. I know these skaters are pros with these long skirts, but someone watching at home gets a little nervous that it's going to get caught in the skate and they're going to fall and get hurt. So, but
let's see, though. It's quite dramatic, isn't it?
They handled it, yes.
Yeah. So the score took a while for them to come up on the screen, but they were third in the free skate and finished second overall. Our Anne really looked into the protocols and saw that they only did two choreographic elements and they lost a lot of points on the choreographic character step sequence and did three short leaps instead of a combo. The winner of the event were Eva Pate and Logan Bai. This is the second time that they win at a Challenger event. They won Autumn Classics in 2023. Gina, what do you think of The Lion King? Do you like it as much as I do?
Yes. So I think Daphne loves it too. And Daphne told me in Lake Placid, you know, you're going to like this Lion King free dance. And I was bummed that I didn't get to see it in person. And I think that was the first thing I texted Daphne. After they skated, I said, oh my God, I love this Lion King program. So especially, I think I have noticed, and I don't know about anybody else, but I think they do their character step sequence along the long end of the boards. Mm. So they're going, instead of right in front of the judges, I think they go the long end. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to watch it again. And this is the first time I really got to see it. Other than a fan cam on from Lake Placid. So I think that is the case, which you don't usually see. You usually see the character step sequence kind of going in front, you know, of the judges. But I'll have to pay attention for that again. But I do love this program.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It really suits them completely, I think. Mm-hmm. In third place, another American team. So we mentioned before Katarina Wolf-Klosenstein and Dmitry Zareski. They finished second overall in the free dance, but remained in third place, winning the bronze medal. Just quickly mentioning, Natasha Lagouche and Orno Kafa-France finished in fourth place, followed by Victoria Magni and Carlo Rofflisberger of Italy in fifth place. And there's something interesting that happened to an Italian team there. So Giulia Paolino and Andrea Tuba withdrew after the redolence, and they're actually going to be at the qualifier this week. So we're still not quite sure why that happened. We found out that they were at the practice, free dance practice in the morning, but then they withdrew from the event. And yeah, we are curious now. They're still listed to go to the qualifier event, but hopefully we'll find something out because we don't know.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. So I think we did a good job recapping Lombardia. Let's move on to the Junior Grand Prix in Bangkok. We'll start with the men. It was nice to see 2010 Olympic gold medalist Evan Lysacek awarding the medals to the men and ice dancers. Now, his wife is from Thailand, and I believe he also hosted the U.S. team at a dinner after the event as well. I saw some photos on social media. Well, the winner of the men's event was Ryo Nakata of Japan. This is his second gold medal of the season, so he has qualified for the Junior Grand Prix final. Silver went to Team USA's Patrick Blackwell. He landed two quads and two triple axels in his free skate, which was a tribute to his friend Spencer Lane, who we lost in the DC plane crash. He posted that he will be competing at the Junior Grand Prix in Azerbaijan, so he's looking to try to qualify for the JGP final. And bronze went to New Zealand Jianhao Li. So that is a quick recap of the men's event.
Looking at the women, gold went to Japan's Mao Shimada. So she hasn't lost a competition at the junior level since 2020.
It's wow.
Yeah.
And she's still a junior, which is crazy.
Exactly. So in the free skate, she attempted a quad toe but fell and underestimated it. And she also underestimated her triple axel. But overall, she finished in first place, actually with a few points margin, where normally you see quite a large points margin between Mao Shimada and the second one. She will then compete at the final Junior Grand Prix event in the Junior Grand Prix event in the United Arab Emirates. So hopefully she will qualify again to the final as usual, and we will see what she will be doing there. In silver position where was another Japanese skater, Mei Okada. This is her second medal this season after winning gold in Riga. And in bronze, Jeongkyul Hwang of Korea. This is her first Junior Grand Prix medal. We also want to mention Hannah Bath of Australia, who finished in fourth place. She landed two triple axels, but accidentally did four combinations, so the final one was invalidated, and she's the first Australian woman to land a triple axel.
Wow. To do four combinations, and you don't realize it, and one gets invalidated. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, moving on to pairs, this is the second to last pairs event of the JGP. And gold went to China's Ru Guo and Yuan Zhang with their second Junior Grand Prix medal this season. They got silver in Ankara. They have qualified for the Junior Grand Prix final. Silver went to Jasmine DeRogers and Kiernan Thrasher of Canada. And bronze went to Sophia Jarmick and Luke Witowski of the United States. This is their first JGP medal. They were eighth in Ankara a few weeks ago. They are coached by 2024 Olympic team bronze medalist Simon Schnapier. Regan Moss and Jacob Gavalvi deserve a shout out for their fourth place finish. Now, this team has competed 3 weeks in a row. They competed at JGP Ankara, then John Nix, and now in Bangkok. So three different countries too, with three different time zones. So props to them and their coaching team, Trudy Altmans. But they finished fourth, and that is just crazy. You've been competing for 3 weeks. And you're not just talking going from one city to another. We're talking countries that with different time zones, just crazy. Craziness. Yep. So props to them. You deserve a little break now.
Now, moving on to ice dance. Gold was won by the American team of Hannah Maria Aboyan and Daniil Veselukhin. This is their first Junior Grand Prix gold medal. Silver and bronze actually repeated the result in Ankara in the other Junior Grand Prix. So in silver position, we had Charlie Anderson and Kaiden Dozen of Canada. And in bronze medal position, Leah Hien and Louis Varexon of France. So this is everything for the Junior Grand Prix. As we said, remember that there's no Junior Grand Prix this week. But let's move on to talking quickly about 2025 National Solo Dance Final. In the senior category, gold went to Brooke Tufts, who won her first national championship. She's won gold in 2021 and 2023 and silver in 22 and 24. Brooke actually posted on Instagram that she's doing one more competition at international level, and then she will be moving to the other side of the board. So we are very sorry and sad to hear that, but happy that we could witness all that she could deliver for solo dance. And we are sure that she will still continue to advocate for the discipline. In silver medal position, Amal Israelova. She also competed in the international solo pattern dance event and won gold for the second year in a row. In bronze medal position, Lucas Appel. This is his first bronze medal after winning two golds and a silver the last 3 years. The pewter medal went to Desi Howing Mosley, who won the junior title last year. Now in the junior field, gold went to Violet Yan, silver to Evan Birds, bronze to Marilyn McCoy Sprung, and pewter to Jessica Burns.
Well, you can check our show notes for the Colorado Springs Invitational, the NQS and non-qualifying event, as well as the Carousel Classic NQS and non-qualifying event. Well, moving on to upcoming events for the week, I think we already mentioned this, but did you know that it's the Skate to Milano, Chinese Nebelhorn, Olympic qualifier, whatever you want to call it. This event is happening this week in Beijing, China. There are 5 Olympic spots to be awarded in the men's event, 27 competitors competing in that event. In the women's event, 5 Olympic spots to be awarded, 25 competitors competing. Pairs, only 3 spots, but 11 teams competing. Dance, there are 4 spots and 19 teams competing. Now, as a reminder, there will be individual neutral athletes looking to get a spot, 2 women and 2 men, none in the pairs and the dance event. Now, a couple other things to note as you're watching this Olympic qualifier. For the men, France is looking for a 3rd spot. Francois Pinault will compete for that spot. Korea and Kazakhstan are also looking for a 2nd spot. For the women, we are going to get to see Luna Hendricks. She is competing to try to get the 2nd spot for Belgium. Estonia is also looking for a 2nd spot. Anastasia Gabanova is also competing to get a spot for Georgia after she failed to make the free skate at Worlds and did not qualify a spot at Worlds. So some big names competing in the women's event trying to get some spots there. For pairs, Team USA is looking for the 3rd pair spot, and Audrey Shin and Balaj Naj will compete for it. Japan is also looking for a 2nd spot. In dance, Ellison Reed and Solius Ambrovicius are looking for a spot after not being able to get a spot at Worlds. Keeping our fingers crossed for them, especially after she got her citizenship, so she is able to compete at the Olympics for Lithuania, but we have to hope they get that spot. Italy, Spain, and Georgia are looking for a 2nd spot. With pairs in dance, there could be a spot available closer to the Olympics, as there are rumors for pairs that a pairs team that already qualified a spot has split. This country also had the possibility of earning a 2nd spot, but they're not sending another team to the qualifier, so we'll have to wait and see what happens with this spot. There's also the citizenship status with the dance team Yuka Oriara and Yuno Perinen. They're not giving up the spot just yet, and they're trying to get Yuka's citizenship in time, so we'll just have to wait and see. Basically, you have until January to give up your spot if you're not going to use it, so we could be finding out teams are going to the Olympics, you know, a month before. So there is a live stream for the qualifier. I heard it's going to be available for everybody via YouTube, and I believe some hosts who usually do the Junior Grand Prix, and since there's not a Junior Grand Prix this week, will be the commentator. So we might be hearing from Mark Canretti and Ted Barton this weekend. So we will definitely, all 3 of us will be on the podcast next week to chat about the Olympic qualifier. But yeah, that is the big event happening this week.
We're also going to have links in our show notes for Souvenir Georges Etier, which is going to take place in Quebec, Maple Wood Fall Classics, which is an NQS in Minnesota, Challenge Cup Final NQS for Dance in Pennsylvania, and Skate Cleveland, which is an NQS in Ohio.
So moving on to online updates and articles, I'm just going to mention we have a few articles with a number of different skaters. We're just going to put them all in our show notes. We went a little long with our recap, so we're not going to keep you any longer talking about articles. Just check them out. I mean, there's an article with Max Nomoff, Patrick Blackwell, Una Engage Brown, Zara Wood, Alex Lepsky. Just go and check them all out in our show notes.
So we made it, Gina. Well done.
I know, we did. And I didn't want to go any longer with our online updates, so I'm just like, hey, people, go check them out in our show notes.
We got to do it sometimes, though, isn't it? Because right. It's good to talk about events and we can just lose ourselves chatting forever and ever. But we have to draw the podcast to an end. And as right, you know, exactly. We always do that by talking about our social medias. So starting with This Week in Skating, don't forget to check our merchandise available on our Swag page. As always, actually, I'm here recording with my Twiz mug, which is fantastic and I love it. And also you can join our Patreon for access to ad-free episodes. At icedance.com, we have Lombardia Trophy photos, and we are also going to have a preview of the Olympic qualifier event, which is going to be posted soon, and photos soon as the event is taking place.
Well, over at FSO, I'm continuing the new pairs team series, and I posted last week a feature on U.S. junior team Gabrielle Kaplan and Carter Griffin. I will have the fourth feature in this new pairs team series coming on Wednesday this week. Also, as we mentioned, Giada was taking photos for me at Lombardia Trophy, so all her photos are online. And I posted the latest in Scott's Legends series with Alyssa Sisney today, so that is up online. And I will have coverage and photos from the Olympic qualifier this week as well.
Right. I think we are ready to
I think we're ready for the Olympic qualifier. Yeah, exactly. I think so too. So until then.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.